This week on Morning Edition, we've learned about Germany's policies around drug addiction in our series called Through the Looking Glass. Most of these policies are rooted in harm reduction, such as drug consumption rooms, needle exchange programs, and syringe vending machines on the streets and in prison. Here's Mark D'Olivia, a social worker at one of Berlin's drug consumption rooms where addicts can use illegal drugs legally.
I think our main goal is just like help that the people survive or just teach them a bit more about hygiene and teach them a bit more about certain techniques, because the truth is a lot of people don't know how to shoot up and they harm themselves very badly.
Joining me now is NHBR reporter Paige Sutherland, who, as part of a three-week fellowship, went to Germany to report these stories. But now she's back, and the question is, how might any of this apply to New Hampshire? Good morning, Paige.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in. And really interesting series, Paige. It seems like these strategies have been working in Germany overall. Heroin use is down. Overdose deaths have declined, as well as HIV and hepatitis C numbers. Have other countries tried using similar harm reduction methods?
Yeah, so Germany is definitely not the pioneer when it comes to using these ideas. Switzerland began using heroin-assisted therapy, which is this idea that doctors can legally prescribe heroin since 1994, which is 15 years after Germany. As well, Switzerland opened up the first drug consumption room ever worldwide in 1986. So, and there are nearly 90 of them worldwide now in 9 countries, including Spain, Netherlands, Denmark, Luxembourg, as well as in 2003 in Canada. But none so far in the U.S. However, many states, as we speak, are looking into this. There's lawmakers in New York, Maryland, California, as well as individual cities in San Francisco and Seattle.
Okay, so there's some people that may be wading into this, but how is that push going overall in the U.S.?
Well, Rick, it's pretty slow.
Yeah.
I mean, allowing people to smoke crack and shoot up heroin in a designated room is not really a concept that many people in the U.S. are really aware of or comfortable with. And so it's kind of hard to wrap your head around. But for advocates like Patricia Sully, who's been helping to lead the charge in Seattle, say having these rooms makes perfect sense and it's not enabling drug use.
It's about recognizing that there are people who are currently addicted and those people are using drugs. And if we ever want them to make it into treatment, if we ever want to change that behavior, we have to keep them alive and healthy.
There are also a lot of policy questions attached to open these rooms. I mean, what's the enforcement protocol? Possessing drugs and using drugs is illegal both federally and in every state in the U.S. So do you have to change these state laws? Do you need federal approval? How does it work when you're transporting these drugs? Do officers, can they not arrest you when you're bringing them to these rooms? So there's a lot of questions.
Yeah, I would think so. Some of these ideas like heroin-assisted therapy and drug consumption rooms are a little out there for New Hampshire, I would think. What's been some of the reaction that you've received from policymakers right here in the Granite State?
Yeah, so I think the best word to describe it would be puzzled. I think there are many people who aren't outright against these ideas. There's just a lot of questions. Like when we were talking about heroin-assisted therapy, some of the questions I've heard are, you know, is this drug FDA approved? You know, what license would doctors need to prescribe it? Is it injected? Is it in a pill form? You know, all those kind of questions.
It seems, Paige, that Seattle has made some good strides in getting some of these harm reduction strategies up and running. But, you know, Seattle's across the country from us here in New Hampshire. Any efforts that are closer to home that you could point to?
Yeah, the closest thing that I've seen is across the border in Massachusetts. They have these so-called safe rooms. So basically, people can run off their high, but they can't bring their drugs in. They can't use them there. It's more that they run off their high and they're in the care of medical professionals. But I think it's fair to say drug consumption rooms are probably a little far off for New Hampshire. I mean, as we saw last legislative session, we're still stuck on trying to pass needle exchange programs. You know, keep in mind, more than 30 states now in the U.S. have a needle exchange program, and currently we're the only state in New England without one.
So last legislative session, lawmakers did try to create a pathway for a needle exchange program, but that bill was turned into a study commission. What's holding it up?
So the main concerns were centered around how the bill was written. The main sponsor, Republican Rep. Joe Hannon, wrote the bill in a way where he tried to get over the hurdle of funding. You have a Republican controlled House and Senate. So funding attached to any bill always creates some waves. And so how he wrote it was that it would legalize heroin residue on used needles and allow nonprofits, organizations to open up their own needle exchange programs. And the problem there was people felt, you know, we want a state-run program because without that state-run oversight, you know, we don't know if it's regulated or not. Earlier this week, the study committee met and hopes to have something passed by next legislative session.
As always, it comes down to a lot of details, I guess. Many critics would argue that sending a bill to a study commission more or less kills it. Should we expect to see actual progress, though, on the topic?
I think that's a fair criticism. When it came to just allowing people without a prescription to get up to 10 clean syringes at a pharmacy, that took a decade to pass. And then also passing the state's prescription drug monitoring program also took a decade. And because of that, we were one of the last states in the country to have one. So, you know, getting some of these stuff passed takes time in New Hampshire. But last week, the state's new drug czar, James Vera, released his 6 recommendations for addressing the opioid crisis, and getting a needle exchange program was 3rd on the list.
It's a new process in this state, and it's a conversation to be had. But it's really important to really note that we're having the conversation. It's a conversation that's actually now occurring, much like substance use disorders. You know, it's a conversation that has not had happened. And now, not only have we had the conversation, moving forward, where we're allocating funding for these programs.
So to backtrack a little bit, Paige, Germany seems to have decreased their overdose fatalities. We've heard about that this week. Berlin alone had 154 drug-related deaths last year. Meanwhile, New Hampshire, which, of course, is a third of the size, had more than 440 deaths. We're on track to surpass 500, in fact, this year, so we're going the other way. How did we get here?
So I think there's many factors that led us here. First and foremost, overprescribing. Like I mentioned before, it took a decade to get a prescription drug monitoring program passed, meaning doctors didn't know who was getting opioids, how much they were getting, were they doctor shopping. And this was a national problem. As well, nationally, there was this lack of addiction training when it came to doctors prescribing opioids. They didn't know how addictive opioids could be. And this is something Germany got a hold on a lot earlier than us. They were training doctors. They were adopting strict rules when it came to prescribing, you know, who gets it, how much, you know, they were doing that pretty early on. And then second, in the U.S., we've for years adopted this war on drug policy. But this is something that's starting to change, and you're seeing it right here in New Hampshire with police stations that are directing addicts to treatment rather than jail cells. You've seen this in Laconia, in Manchester, and on the seacoast. Whereas in Germany, police departments began using these efforts decades ago. And three, and I think most importantly, is funding. In Germany, substance abuse has been funded for decades. Berlin alone sets aside 10 million euro a year towards this effort. While in New Hampshire, it's been underfunded for decades. Here's Tim Rourke, who chairs the Governor's Commission on Drug and Alcohol.
Our system can currently treat between 4% and 6% of the addicted population. But then what's driving behind that has been that we've also been second to last in the United States for per capita expenditures, and we are the lowest in New England.
You know, but recently, Paige, New Hampshire has ramped up funding.
Yes, since January alone, the state has put more than $30 million towards this issue. And besides increasing funding, they've also made great strides by passing laws such as expanding access to the overdose reversal drug Narcan. They've increased insurance coverage and also changed the state's prescribing rules.
Okay, so it seems we are making progress, but should I expect to see syringe vending machines in Concord anytime soon?
I definitely wouldn't hold my breath. I don't think New Hampshire is socially or politically ready for something like that. But after talking with Dante Scala, who's a political scientist professor at UNH, it seems now is the time more than ever for our state's drug policies to explore some uncharted waters.
And I think we are seeing public opinion moving in a significant direction that may well, even in the near future, leave some opening, some freedom for trying different sorts of solutions to the problem. So I think the door is open in a way that it hasn't been for decades.
All right. Well, I guess we'll have to wait until the next legislative session starts up this January to see whether any harm reduction policies actually gain any steam here. Thanks, Paige.
Thank you.
NHPR's Paige Sutherland.